Good morning. Sally and I want to give you our warmest Christian greetings and wish you a very happy new year. We are indeed sorry that we're not back in person to be with you at Silver Street Community Church. There's something very special about being in a multicultural church community like yours, and whenever we've come, our hearts have been fired as we've seen the lovely fellowship that we have. It's also lovely to visit a church where Gladys Aylward was baptized, the missionary to China. And I've recently been reading up a bit of her story and will mention it later as well. We love the picture in the Bible that there will be people from every cultural and language background before the throne of God, before the Lamb of God. And one day we will all be singing together those wonderful words, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." We praise the Lord that Silver Street is involved so much in local evangelism, with your cafe, with your outreach to the Turkish people and others. And we praise God too that you're very committed to the wider church within the world through your mission partners. And so, as I say, it's a great thrill. Sally and I pray for this church every week. We're very committed to being with you. Now, 2021, of course we pray that it will be a church, a year which is very different to this year which is finishing now. This last year, I congratulate you all on learning a new vocabulary. You learnt along with us what the word pandemic means, what the word furlough means, what the word lockdown means. You probably are sick and tired of the word unprecedented, or coronavirus, or social distancing. And we have all experienced this very difficult time together. But we believe God is with us, he is sovereign, he's compassionate, and we look forward in 2021 to God's blessing upon us. Now, I wonder what your ambition is for the new year. Maybe the hard year is behind you and you're looking forward. I would like to encourage you and say to you, perhaps the greatest ambition we should have for this coming year is to be fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to them." What amazing words. Do you want to show Jesus that you love him in 2021? Then obedience is the secret of showing your love. Do you want to be loved by God the Father in 2021? Then the secret of loving God is to love his Son, Jesus. Do you want Jesus to reveal himself to you in 2021? Then the secret is to love and obey him, and he promises to reveal himself. God the Father promises to reveal himself to us. Now today, I'm going to focus on a little story concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to do that. I love to study the stories of Jesus and to meditate on their meaning. So we're going to read now Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11, which appear on the screen. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. This is the word of God. Father God, we want to see Jesus today. We want to understand who he is, and we want to be absolutely awestruck by the Son of God amongst us. Please speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. This little story focuses on what is called in this reading, Lake of Gennesaret. But we more commonly know it as the Sea of Galilee. Actually, Jesus did quite a few things around the Sea of Galilee, and I think he really loved this place. The lake, the Sea of Galilee, is a little lake on the Jordan River. It's 12 miles long by 8 miles wide, and it's not far from Nazareth, which is where he lived with his parents. And on the edge of this little lake were the two fishing villages of Capernaum and Bethsaida. And Jesus was often there. And in fact, he selected most of his disciples from these villages. He seemed also to gain inspiration by the surrounding area, because many of his parables seemed to be based on the rich agricultural area around the Sea of Galilee. And it was near the lake to the Sea of Galilee that he fed the 5,000 and walked on the water. Now, I'm going to give you, we're talking about the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to give you some seas, but spelled a different way. The first sea is the context, the context. When you read God's word, it always helps to understand the context. So I want you to imagine the scene. Jesus was beginning his ministry, and he was talking to the people in those villages around Lake Galilee. And as he spoke, the crowd began to grow. And Jesus was in danger of being pushed into the lake by the advancing crowds on the bank. So he did the sensible thing. He borrowed a boat from one of the fishermen, Simon, who was there with his brother Andrew. Now, Jesus had already met them. And in fact, it's important to realize that Jesus had actually, just before this, performed a miracle when he had healed Simon's mother-in-law, who had a fever. And also, just previous to this, he had spoken in their synagogue. And they were amazed, because he wasn't like the normal boring rabbis preaching, but he carried authority. And he spoke, and he lifted up the scroll of Isaiah, and he said, "Today, this scroll is being fulfilled among you." And what was the scroll about? It was about proclaiming good news to the poor. It was about bringing recovery of sight to the blind. It was about declaring God's blessing. And in addition to that, Jesus had just done a miracle. He had cast an evil spirit out of someone. And so no wonder many people crowded round the lake to listen to him. But think of poor Simon. He had had one of the most frustrating nights of his life. Now, remember, Peter was an experienced professional fisherman. He knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of his hand. He knew exactly what time to go out fishing and where to fish And here he was in the morning, having been out fishing all night, and he caught nothing. I expect he could hardly remember such a bad night. He had not even caught a tiddler. He must have felt so frustrated and tired and disappointed. And probably his mother and other people from the village came down when they saw the boat coming in to see what his catch was, and perhaps to help to take the fish down to Capernaum Market for sale. But he threw up his hands in despair, and he said, "Nothing. We haven't caught anything." And so, with his brother Andrew, they were washing the nets, not taking out the fish, but taking out any debris or branches that were caught in the nets. And they were simply washing the nets and folding them, ready for the next day's fishing. Furthermore, it was part of a fishing cooperative. And his partners in the fishing business were John and James. And they too had caught nothing. And they were there as well. But Simon didn't mind Jesus borrowing the boat. And frustrated as he was, he said, "Yes, you can borrow the boat." And Jesus asked him just to push out a little way, just near to the shore. And actually, by using the boat as a platform for preaching, and the bank was quite steep at that point, it was like a natural amphitheater. And Jesus could speak with a normal voice, and the people on the bank could all hear. But what was going through Simon's mind? I wonder if what was going through his mind is very similar to what's going through many of our minds after 2020. Normal life seems to have left us. We seem to have so much unemployment. We're all in Tier 4 lockdown. Why has God allowed such difficult circumstances? What is going on? When will this end? Will it be a long time before we're offered the vaccine and can get back to normal? Probably Peter was thinking, when can I get back to normal fishing when there are fish in the sea? Well, probably as Simon was in the boat, he was half listening to Jesus speaking to the people on the shore. And then when Jesus had finished speaking, he turns to Simon and he says, "Simon, would you just launch out into the deep?" We'll have the next slide. And this is my second C for you, the catch. He said, just push out into the deep water and let down your nets. Now, I think the Bible can be quite amusing. Can you imagine a carpenter boy telling professional fishermen when to fish and when to let down their nets? And Peter knew that fishing was normally done at night, and it was probably done in the shallower water. And yet Jesus turned to Simon and said, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets." That request must have come over like a lead balloon. When we're tired, when we're frustrated, when we're disappointed, it's hard to react. But all credit to Simon. What Simon said was so important. Simon said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But," this is the important but, "because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now remember that Peter's mother-in-law had just been healed. Peter had heard Jesus in the synagogue. Peter had seen Jesus casting out demons. And so despite all his frustration and disappointment, Peter realizes that when the master says something, you should obey. The rest of the story is history, and it's so exciting. Simon may have obeyed reluctantly because he owed so much to the master. But once he did obey, it was as if every fish in the lake swam into the net. And there was such a catch of fish that the nets began to break, we're told. And then we're told that Simon and Andrew signaled to John and James on the shore with the other boat, saying, "Come quickly and help us." We've got so many fish, we need your help. Now, what would you have done if suddenly you saw this miraculous catch of fish? What would you have done? I think in our modern day and age, we would have taken a selfie. We wanted a picture of us next to our boat sinking with fish. Or we would have immediately sent something to the local paper, to the Capernaum News, saying, wow, has ever there been such a catch of fish off our little fishing village before? But that's not what Peter did. And we turn to the next slide, and we see that suddenly Peter realizes something. The sheer awesome majesty of Jesus, his authority, his power on every occasion, the fact that he's completely in control of everything in his creation, including the fish. Suddenly, Simon is overwhelmed with the realization that this Jesus is not an ordinary man. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And he's so conscious of his worthlessness as a professional fisherman, being reluctant to obey Jesus and toiling all night and not catching any fish. And yet this man comes, who's a carpenter, and he can order all the fish to come into the net. And as he stands there, he suddenly realizes his own sinfulness. It's like a huge spotlight has been turned on him, and it has revealed his inadequacy, and has revealed that even in the areas where he felt within his comfort zone, he really was not in control. And he was very conscious of his moral bankruptcy. Simon was terrified by his own sinfulness in the presence of the holiness and the glory of Jesus at that moment. And so he falls down on his knees and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And he worships Jesus, and I've no doubt he asked for forgiveness. I want to tell you that the point of being a faithful follower, committed follower of Jesus, that's the starting point. It's realizing who Jesus is and falling on our knees and saying, "Oh God, I need your forgiveness. I'm sinful. I really need your help. I'm inadequate and I can't save myself." Let me tell you that right here in this church and in this community, that's what Gladys Aylward did. She attended a religious meeting and she heard the speaker speak, and she suddenly realized that she needed forgiveness of sin. And after that meeting, she went and talked to the pastor's wife, and that pastor's wife led her to the Lord, and she confessed her sin. And that began a journey, which for Gladys Aylward took her to China. But Jesus turns to Peter after he has confessed, and he says, "Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, I'll be the captain of the boat, and you're not going to catch fish anymore, but you're going to catch people. You're going to tell people about the glory of God, the wonder of the gospel, that God loves them. And in the end, that's the most important work that I've given you to do." My last C is the C of commitment. Simon and the other disciple make a commitment. Simon and Andrew, John and James, who in fact became the closest disciples of Jesus, we're told very, very clearly, they pulled their boats up onto the shore. And then we're told they left everything and followed Jesus. They left someone else to get the fish and to take it to market. They had decided that whatever they did in the future, they were going to follow Jesus. Now, it's not wrong to be a fisherman. Don't misunderstand. The commitment we make we make in our hearts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever our job, whatever our position, whether we're a housewife, whether we're at school, whether we have a job, whether we've been furloughed, the commitment is in our hearts to put Jesus first. That's where we begin. We need to put Jesus first. God may not be asking you to leave your job in London or wherever you work, but it does mean that in 2021, he is asking you to put him first at all times and to never be ashamed of him and to tell others about him. And in other words, to be fishers of men, to be reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know this church is doing that. And I know that at Christmas you've been thinking about the incredible love of Jesus. The fact that Jesus left the splendor and the wonder of glory and he came to earth. And he came to earth because of his amazing love for us. We can never plumb the depth of God's love for us. But Jesus doesn't want you just to come to the Lord yourself. He wants all the people in your neighborhood. He wants your family members. He wants those in your school. He wants those in your circle of friends also to hear the gospel. Jesus longs for people to come and receive the gift that he gave at Christmas. I'm sure none of you want to go to heaven without your friends and your family. I certainly don't. And we now have the responsibility to tell others. Now, as I finish, I'd like to read to you some words of Gladys Aylward. You see, Gladys Aylward was 4'10" tall. She left school. She was a parlour maid. She had very little education. And yet God called her to go to China. And she was asked, at one point, she was asked, why are you going to China? And this is what she wrote down. So I'm actually reading a quote from Gladys Aylward as I finish today here at Silver Street Church. This is what she wrote. There is a living God, and I am his servant. There is a loathsome creature called Satan, and I am his enemy. There is an immortal soul in every human being proceeding to an eternity in either heaven or hell. My job in life is to convince people that if they would put their trust in Jesus Christ, my Lord, who died on the cross for them, they would get straight on the road to heaven. And since Jesus Christ has come to life again, and has promised to be with those who trusted and obeyed him, however beset with trials and temptations the road to heaven might prove to be, they need not fear, for he will never let them down. I love those words. And of course, Jesus said to Simon when he confessed his sin, he said, don't fear, I'm making you to be a fisher of men. When Gladys Aylward applied to a mission, she was turned down. They said, you're not suitable material to go to China. She found out that the cheapest way to go to China was by train, the Trans-Siberian train. So she started paying money to the ticket office every week from her little savings. And gradually she got enough money to buy that ticket to go to China. And the story is history. May God help each of us in this church to be those that are fishers of men and are fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father God, we just praise you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he's the sovereign Lord of all things, and thank you that he commissions us to take the gospel to others. Help us to be fully committed followers of Jesus in this new year. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.